Good afternoon, everyone. Took me a few seconds here to get all set up. What an introduction, huh? I'm starting to just feel I may not have the Kentucky accent yet, but I definitely feel like I'm part of this congregation. You know, we're really settling in nice. We absolutely love it here in Kentucky. It's turned out better than we ever expected. So I do want to apologize slightly. I asked Mr. Burton, if it would be okay for me to practice my feast sermon on you guys. And since we were talking, the feast is only a month away. So thank you for being the victims in this. Hopefully it'll inspire you as we start heading for the feast. Any of you going to Moorhead? Nope. Okay, good. Oh, no, he raised his hand. You'll have a foretaste of what you're going to hear from me at the feast. I'm only up 1 second. So at the feast, we're full of hope, and we get to the feast because God called us and opened the door for us to come into his church. And the title of this sermon is The Door of Hope, The Door of Hope. For us in the past, and for many people who haven't heard the true gospel, they may see their situation or their future in life, and it seems to be completely hopeless. They may see that there's no reasonable way forward and don't have many options to change their situation. Someone has to step in and help them. We're going to talk about two historical events that seem hopeless, but God provided an open door of hope for them to walk through. And also, I want to, in addition to this, think about an entire human species under the influence of and subjected to a powerful supernatural evil entity for many generations. That sounds hopeless too, doesn't it? Here at the feast, we see hope, or here when we're at the feast, we see hope all around us, and we're living it every day. God has opened the doors for us in the past, and we see his future and impact on our lives, and we enthusiastically pursue it, and he brought us to the feast. We learn he is a rewarder of those with faith. Today, we're going to talk about what two young girls did when they each saw an open door in a hopeless situation. These were very courageous individuals, not in the church, who through their life choices and actions inspire faith in us all. Anyways, afterwards, we'll talk about how we can be an open door of hope for others. When we believe in God, we can inspire situations that bring fullness to life in others, and we can share the agape love of Jesus and his church. The first event I'm going to talk about is called the Kate Shelley event. This is a true event about Kate Shelley, a 17-year-old girl in 1881 Iowa, who reacted to a hopeless situation of a bridge out, train, railway bridge out, and an oncoming train with 200 passengers aboard. I'll share the facts from Wikipedia because if you look it up online, you're going to find many various other stories, and a good many of them don't have untrue details in them. And remember, too, that railroads in the late 1800s were like a modern creation. They were brand new. They were a very important feature of the community to replace horse-drawn carriages and stagecoaches, delivering people and product from faraway places efficiently, and were connected by telegraph. So we're going to talk about Kate Shelley. This is Kate Shelley. Catherine Carol Shelley, or Kate Shelley, came to the United States from Ireland when she was 1.5 years old. They moved to Illinois, and they moved to Iowa, purchasing property near the Honey Creek Bridge in Boone County along the railroad line coming from the larger Des Moines River Bridge and the Mongona train station on the other side of the river, which is about 2 to 3 miles away. Her father was a foreman for the railroad and died of consumption when Kate was 12. And one of her two brothers also drowned while swimming in the Des Moines River. Kate took on extra chores and farm animal responsibilities to help support her mother and remaining brother at the cabin across the Honey Creek train bridge. On the afternoon of July 6, 1881, Heavy thunderstorms caused a flash flood of the Honey Creek, Iowa River Bridge, washing out the timbers that supported the railroad trestle. A pusher locomotive sent from the depot to check the track conditions crossed the Des Moines River Bridge, and later down the tracks, it plunged into the Honey Creek River, where the bridge there fell away at about 11 p.m. at night. And it had a crew of four. It had Edgar Wood, A.P. Olmsted, Adam Agar, and Pat Donahue. Nearby, the 17-year-old Kate heard the crash and knew that an eastbound express passenger train was due at the depot at about midnight, stopping shortly before heading east over the Des Moines River Bridge and then onto the Honey Creek Bridge, which is now out. The situation was hopeless. And here is what she had the faith to do. She found the two surviving crew members, Wood and Agar, and shouted that she would go get help. Here's a picture of the bridge. Oops. This is a picture of the bridge, the Des Moines River Bridge. She then hiked the Des Moines River Bridge to reach the depot across the bridge. During the storm, there were no walkways on the bridge. This is an 1881, and this is a picture of the 1881 bridge. If you look online, you'll have to work real hard to find this picture because it's been replaced. And there was space between the ties on the bridge, too. The lantern she brought with her went out. The storm was so intense and windy that the 17-year-old girl had to crawl on her hands and knees on the bridge over the raging Des Moines River for at least a football field of length, with only lightning for illumination. Once across, she had to walk approximately 2 miles in the storm to the depot to sound the alarm to send an alert by telegraph that kept the passenger train stopped at the Scranton Depot 25 miles away. She then led a party back to rescue Wood and Agar, and Wood was pulled to safety by a rope. Agar couldn't be reached until the floodwaters began to recede, and Pat Donahue's body was eventually found in a cornfield a quarter mile downstream from the bridge. A.P. Olmsted was never found. The passengers who had been saved took up a collection for Kate. The little girls of Dubuque, Iowa, gave her a medal, and the state of Iowa gave her another one. And $200, which was worth about $6,500 in 2024. And the Chicago and Northwestern Railway gave her $100, a half a barrel of flour, half a load of coal, and a lifetime pass. The Order of Railway Conductors gave her a gold watch and a chain. News of Kate Shelley's bravery spread nationwide. Poems and songs were composed honoring her. The Chicago and Northwestern Railway built a new steel bridge in 1901 and named it the Boone Viaduct. But people quickly nicknamed it the Kate Shelley Bridge or the Kate Shelley High Bridge, and that's the one you'll find if you look for it. By her account, however, Kate was an ordinary Iowa farm girl who did what needed to be done. She said, "I felt I had to go. I believe that God makes strong the weakest and makes the poorest of us able to endure much for his merciful purpose." That's what she told the Dubuque, Iowa crowd in 1888. Hope is knowing God is with you in a crisis, as you then do extraordinary works of faith for him. We can find a number of scriptures that kind of reference what Kate's statement said and why she did it. 2 Corinthians, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 12, please. Talk a little bit about Jesus here in 2 Corinthians 12. And we'll move on to Isaiah. 2 Corinthians 12 and in verse 9. And he said to me, God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly," Paul says, "most gladly I would rather boast in my infirmities, and the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses." A lot like Kate Shelley. "For Christ's sake, For when I am weak, then I am strong. And then turn with me to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, where Isaiah talks about the same topic here. Being weak, but yet you're strong. Isaiah 40, verse 29. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. I think we can see by the scriptures and our understanding of the truth that by this example, a similar motivation for Jesus Christ becoming human to give his life and become our Savior. Jesus is seeing the washed out bridge ahead of us in this broken society. He's running forward in time and gave his life to give us safe passage and hope. Are we ready to stop the train and route to a different track? In life, what is our motivation? Is it to save ourselves or to let God save us and let him save others through us, like Kate did? The path is not easy, as the story tells about her challenges crossing the bridge. She used a lantern. She used God's lightning to guide her. Can we do the same? Will the fear of heights and the pain of crawling on your hands and knees stop you? Does it hurt to take the right path and do the right thing for others? We have to know that the light shines through darkness. Can we see God's Holy Spirit in us, opening a door of hope for others around us, for us and for others around us? Can we see it through the darkness in this world? Turn with me to John 7, please. And verse 37, on the last day, on the great day of feast, Jesus stood and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Implying the Holy Spirit is life and flows like a river to satisfy a thirst for truth or life. And then in verse 38, it says, "He who believes in me," Jesus says, "as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And in verse 39, it says, "But he spoke this concerning spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." But when he says it here in verse 38, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Our calling is to bear heartfelt spiritual fruit of the Holy Spirit given through us to share with those around us as Jesus did. People who listen and accept the grace of Jesus' sacrifice allows them to experience a fuller and more purposeful life. After all, we are lights in this world to help in a kind and sensitive way bring the gospel to the ones that God is calling. Even though some of us are weak and our church is few in number, He can make us strong to persevere the storms and obstacles in our lives. He can also help us share his hope with others that we know. We learned that God can bring success from a 17-year-old Iowa farm girl, Kate Shelton, who stepped out in faith. He could do the same for us, though we may be weak and poor. And now for our next historical event. I'm going to give you a quote. This is a famous quote, and I want you to think about who said it. "The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched." The best and most beautiful, like this picture, things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. And the final part is, they must be felt with the heart. Does anyone know who said this quote? It is famous. Her name is Helen Keller. Anybody know who she is? I see a few people nodding, hands going up. Very good back there. She was a famous author and disability advocate and someone who was both deaf and blind in the 1800s and early 1900s. It seems insightful from a deaf and blind girl in a hopeless situation to make this kind of statement that she made. But I think she's on something here, considering how her deaf and blind world can intersect in some ways with ours. Here are some excerpts from her Wikipedia page. When Helen was 6 years old, Anne Sullivan, the teaching of the blind and deaf, immediately began to teach Helen to communicate by spelling words in her hand. So she would use her finger to spell the words in the hand, beginning with the word doll, D-O-L-L, for the doll that she brought Keller as a present. You can see the doll there. You can see Helen Keller, and then you can see Miss Sullivan. Keller was frustrated at first, but she did not understand that every object had a word uniquely identifying. So my point here is, how do we see ourselves? How are our hearts connected to God? Today, I'd like to frame our viewpoints in a way to help us get our hearts closer to Jesus Christ and God the Father, even though we can't see Him. We struggle to communicate with God because we cannot see Him. And we can see Helen Keller's breakthrough with communication outside herself came the next month, when she realized that the motions her teacher was making on the palm of her hand while running cool water over her other hand symbolized the idea of water. Writing in her autobiography, Helen says the story of my life. She says, she recalled the moment. I stood still, my whole attention fixed upon the motions of her fingers, and suddenly I felt a misty consciousness as of something forgotten, a thrill of returning thought. And somehow the mystery of language was revealed to me. I knew that then that the water in my hand felt the wonderful, cool something that was flowing over my other hand. So she says that the living word awakened my soul and gave it life and hope and set it free. Keller nearly exhausted Sullivan, demanding the names of all the other familiar objects in her world. The beginning of learning had been lost in her early childhood, but now was being remembered. Here are some inspiring words by Helen Keller, who always thought some power was with her all her life. She said, "Faith is the strength by which a shattered world shall emerge into the light." Doesn't that sound familiar to us? We all look at the world that's shattered in serious condition now, and we know it's going to emerge in the light with the kingdom. She also said, "The Bible gives me a deep, comforting sense that things seen are temporal and things unseen are eternal." Boy, she got that right. Isn't it true that when we look back in our lives, the most beautiful things we remember are those precious moments when our lives were lifted up? Someone was rescued or was enlightened with a new truth and found a new hope in this broken world. We then could have hope in the unseen future God promised. And we celebrate it at the feast, which is really nice, really good for us. God's truth, the living word, gives us hope and light and sets us free. God is writing his ways through the Holy Spirit and his word on our minds and our hearts, encouraging us to follow him. So when we talk about seeing the best things with our hearts, the first point I'd like to make is perceive with your heart. Are we listening? Are our hearts perceiving and feeling that what his finger is writing on our lives in the palm of our hands? Are we perceiving it? There are so many distractions that distort incoming information, but we must keep trying until the light comes on for us as it did for Helen Keller. We can't let our self-righteousness or our cares of this world block his righteousness pulling at our hearts. We have to open our hearts to him and let him lift us up. That's the first point, is perceive with your heart. The second point is, don't turn back. At the point of Helen Keller's enlightenment, when communication opened up her world, there was no turning back. She could only go forward out of her excitement, more truth about the world outside of her. She was seeking every new word on every new item. We got very excited when we learned the truth of the world, the truth of the word, and of the world to come. And there's no going back for us either, is there? So the second point is, don't go back. And the third point is, move forward, seeking God and the kingdom of God with our hearts. And here's an easy one. Moses in Exodus said, move forward and see the mighty hand of God. Who did he say that to? The Israelites, all standing hopelessly frozen in fear on the edge of the Red Sea. They were hopeless until they saw the sea part. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. We have to move forward and seek God. And when we do move forward and seek God, this is the feeling our hearts can have. Please turn with me to Psalm 105. In Psalm 105 and verse 3. When our hearts are moving forward and we're seeking God, our hearts can rejoice. Well, Psalm 105, verse 3. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Let it grow in you. Helen Keller overcame her handicaps of blindness and deafness and became an example of overcoming and was inspired to accomplish much. We too are inspired to accomplish much, overcoming by our hearts seeking God. And that's the fourth point, overcome to the end. Helen Keller was viewed as isolated, but was in touch with the outside world, even though she couldn't see or hear it. We too are viewed as isolated, but in touch with the world that's outside of us. She was able to enjoy music by feeling the beat. She was able to have a strong connection with animals through touch. She was delayed at picking up language, but that did not stop her from having a voice. She kept overcoming obstacles and made a huge difference for herself and others until her end. Believe it or not, she wrote 12 published books, several articles, visited 35 countries, and in 1964, President Lyndon Johnson awarded her the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And then not only that, in 2003, Alabama honored her as its native daughter on its state quarter. The Alabama state quarter is the only circulating U.S. coin to feature Braille that can speak through feeling it with your fingers. As you can see, I have it circled there. So she accomplished a lot in her life. In support of the disabled, she moved to Easton, Connecticut, where she had a base of operations. And she eventually died and was buried in the Washington National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. You can see she did everything with heart. Seeing all that she did, when we're at the feast, we have a lot of opportunities too. But we have a few advantages she didn't. We have sight, we have hearing, and most importantly, God's Holy Spirit and his word. His calling and his fellowship with his people, we have all that. Even though we can't see him or touch him, we can do like Helen Keller and reach out to him and commit to him with our hearts. We have the opportunity to make a difference until the end of our lives and also make a difference in others' lives, seeking the most beautiful thing in our hearts, Jesus Christ within us. Let's keep seeking God with the advantages that we have. Let's put all our efforts into it like Helen Keller did in her life. Let's try to connect our hearts and minds to the work he's doing in us. One last saying to Helen Keller here. Being blind, she was able to perceive this physical characteristic. This is her last saying. She said, keep your face to the sunshine and you cannot see a shadow. Keep your face to a sunshine and you cannot see a shadow. To me, this means I have to stay in God's light and not in the shadows of death or Satan. So that's my fifth point. Stay in the light. Rejoice for all his gifts that he gives us, both physical and spiritual. Turn with me to James 1, please. We realize that God gives us a lot. And every day, there are things that are happening in our lives or things that we can enjoy in our lives that come from God. James 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. So we stand in his light, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. Can we be intensely focused like she was, even though she was blind, and be able to keep our focus on God and his light, and learn from him and not turn to the shadows, appreciating the bountiful gifts, spiritual as well, that he provides for us? He gives us daily, the ones he gives us daily, for the good of us and for the good of others if we use them to his glory. We're accountable for producing spiritual fruits. We can continue reaching for God, seeking his light in our lives, like Helen Keller was seeking the unseen world to light up her life. Can we also light up the lives of others? As we discussed earlier, Jesus told us we have his Holy Spirit. In 1 John 1, please, 1 John 1, 7, we have his Holy Spirit. And in 1 John 1, 7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And we'll go back to John 7, just to review that a little bit. In John 7 and verse 38, and we've already covered this once, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Jesus has been glorified, and we have his Holy Spirit living in us. If we believe in him, we can courageously let the Holy Spirit flow from our hearts. Something good was flowing from the hearts of Kate Shelley and Helen Keller, and they shared it in hope and faith to accomplish God's will. When we're at the feast, we can see a door of hope opening for us and provided by our Savior. We can look forward to rejoining with all of Israel in the kingdom. Picture a beautiful valley and plains running from Jericho to Jerusalem, leading to the promised land, as God will show comfort and love towards Israel and the kingdom coming to this earth. The beginning of that beautiful valley you picture is the Valley of Achor, outside of Jericho. And it's a door of hope to the beginning of God's redemption and eventual marriage to Israel and Judah. Turn with me to Hosea 2, please. Hosea 2. In verse 14, where God talks about his heart, where his heart is, and what he's doing for us in the future and for the world in the future, and for his people, Israel. Hosea 2 and verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. I will give her vineyards from there, and the valley of Achor as a hope door of hope. She will sin there. She shall sin there, as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came out of the land of Egypt. Israel will sin. So happy to have an entrance into the kingdom. Isaiah 65, please. Last scripture. Isaiah 65 and verse 9. Thus says the Lord, I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah as an heir of my mountains. My elect shall enter it, and my servant shall dwell there. Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for herds to lie down, for my people who have sought me. We need to keep seeking God. Let's rejoice in God's great mercy and plan, providing a door of hope for us and uniting us together with Judah and eventually becoming the bride of Christ. He also provides a door of hope for all mankind in Jesus Christ at the last great day.